Good morning and welcome to Spotlight 92. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Thursday we talk to the movers and shakers of the Memphis community, the people that are making things happen for your benefit and mine. And our guest today is a good friend, a man of many colors. He wears many different coats or has worn over the years. Yes, he is the public affairs director right now for the Cumulus Memphis Radio Group. He has over the years been a promoter of records, a promoter of groups, a community organizer, civic affairs mentor, all sorts of cool things like that. And now he's getting a syndicated show that we're going to talk about in a little while as well. It's a public affairs broadcast that's going to be on the Cumulus Network, as a matter of fact, and it's going to be a big deal. And we're always delighted to have him around. Tony Nicholson is in the house with us.
Malvin Massey, how are you, sir?
Just fine.
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. I appreciate all of that. Yes, sir. I think I've done my share, but we can never do enough, though.
Yeah. Yes, sir. But the community is a lot better for it. And like we were saying earlier, it goes back to the idea of people using celebrity for the benefit of other people instead of for the benefit of boosting their egos.
Yes, sir. Well, my ego is very much in check, and you call me a celebrity. I don't think so. As I say to people, I'm just a poor boy from South Memphis, working hard, been working hard a lot of years, and I love Memphis. I love WUMR because it was a big part of what we did with our young jazz band several years ago.
We did the show out at the opera.
And matter of fact, the work, music that you played on UMR got those guys, my younger brother's band, that's what got them to New York. There was a guy who was working here as like an assistant PD or a music director. He took the music from here. That was in, must have been the early 90s.
95.
Something like that. He took that to New York City with him in Fingerprints. The band took off, and, you know, they had a great first record, and they're still making music today. So WMR has been a big part of everything I've been doing.
Right? Fingerprints, man, that's some good music.
Oh, yeah,
get those guys back around.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, this time we're talking about another community situation that Tony is involved in, and it is the Birmingham Crusade.
Yes, sir.
Memphis Mission, 1963 to 2013. Good Lord, that's 50 years.
That's exactly 50 years.
The Reawakening. It's the fifth annual Man of the House mentoring event. Right. It happens Saturday, June 14th and 15th in Memphis and in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it may seem like we're talking about this early, but geez, June will be here in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it takes a while to put this kind of thing together. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this looks like a big event, though, Tony. Tell us a little bit about it, man.
Well, we appreciate all the support we've gotten for our Man of the House Mentoring Initiative. This will be our fifth one. For the first 4 years, we bring together 110 boys being raised in single-parent homes and about 50 of my dudes. These are real, real men in this community, doctors, lawyers, police officers, firefighters. You know, I'll name a few of them as we get through because I couldn't do this without them. But, for 4 years, we've been at the National Civil Rights Museum on Father's Day weekend, the second Saturday usually. But Father's Day weekend and our museum will be closed in 2013 for major renovations, well-deserved renovations. I can't thank Beverly Robertson and Annette and all the good folks down there at the National Civil Rights Museum. But since they're closed, this is our fifth Man of the House mentoring event, and I thought about Soulsville and Stacks because our event focuses on discipline of the young men. It focuses on connecting them to those real men that I was telling you about. Right. But a major part of it is also the historical aspect. That's why we were at the Civil Rights Museum. So we teach our young men about not just Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but the entire civil rights movement. And it was basically Dr. King's career spanned 13 years. He went to Montgomery in 1954 as a young preacher, and he died in Memphis in 1968. So, from the time he started, he never let up. And that is pretty much runs the course of the civil rights movement. as we know it. There were some other things a few years after 1968, but that's been a big part. The movement itself has been a big part of the Man of the House mentoring event and the mentoring initiative. Since they were closed, Birmingham, Alabama has an incredible civil rights institute. It's similar to ours, but Birmingham represents, as I say in some of the literature, Birmingham, in my mind, Malvin, is as significant as Soweto or Johannesburg or Belfast. But yeah. I don't think we've given it that kind of credence.
And that's in modern civilization.
And, well, it changed the world. Well, everybody knows about Bull Connor and the dogs and fire hoses. You know about the 16th Street Church bombing, killing four little girls. Of course, you know, we talk about 1963. That year is when all of that happened. Medgar Evers was assassinated at Kelly Ingram Park on that morning, on that day, again, with the dogs and fire hoses. John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 63. So all of, and of course, March on Washington, it's 50 years since all of those things happened. And you know that from 63 to 68, that 5-year period is critical. So that's what the Birmingham Crusade Memphis Mission is all about, to bring that back into focus for our young men. So we're taking 250 boys to Birmingham in June, sir.
Now, where are you getting the boys? I mean, where, how are these boys getting tied in? How are they finding out about this?
Well, you know, we got good sponsors that we're able to advertise. We work through the schools. And ironically, you know, we have several schools that I work with, a lot of them. Yeah. But the schools that I'm concentrating on, there are four of them. And I hope people find this interesting. Booker T. Washington High School. I worked with them last year, and they're certainly going to be a big part of what we're doing. Frederick Douglass, K-8 over there. George Washington Carver High School, we're working with them. And then Martin Luther King Jr. Transitional School. So you think about those names of Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass and George Washington Carver. Yeah. Those are the four schools that, you know, most of the boys will, the presentations will be there, but it's citywide. We'll be soliciting or inviting young people from anywhere, those who've been with us in the past, as well as those schools, Lemoyne Owen College, University of Memphis, Christian Brothers. So we, you know, the boys, the young men come from literally all over the city, mm-hmm. but we're focusing on those four schools to come up with our 250 boys and about 50 or 60 men. Hopefully I can clear your calendar and hang out with us that day, because it's a 1-day trip to Birmingham, and then we're back that night. But that's where the boys are coming from.
Yeah. Wow. And right now is such a necessary thing. I mean, so many single family homes, so many boys that don't know how to be men, because and that's not the fault of the mother, but how, right. a mother can't be a man, a father. And a lot of boys are not being raised with the fatherly influence around them.
Well, I'm from a single-parent home, as are a lot of men that hopefully go on to have some kind of success. But even when I was driving over here, I thought about, and this is something that all of us need to be aware of, Malvin, is our boys right now have come up in this era. And, you know, we can go back to, the critical part of history that led to this, 63 to 68. Yeah. If you ask yourself, if the listeners on WUMR, if they ask themselves, if you're, 50 years old, 45 years old, or whatever age you happen to be, think about what happened in this country between 1968 and, say, 1975. There were, major racial issues, political issues. Some people who benefited from the civil rights movement and voting rights and all of that sort of went on to the suburbs and never to be heard from again. Yeah, some of them attend church in the same neighborhoods that they grew up in. But, single parenthood is nothing new. But all of the dynamics, all of the things that our boys were faced with, that's what became different after, the early 1970s. Exploitation films of the 70s that put that image, it burned that image into a lot of our minds. Now move ahead to the 1980s, 90s, or what have you, the images of manhood. You think about this. It used to be that a man had a job. He conducted himself properly, you know, whether he went to church or not. But still, he took care of his family. He didn't curse around women. He opened doors for ladies. These are things that we just did as a culture. You think about the images of manhood now, a pit bull, Afro puffs for a hairstyle, the cargo pants and flip flops. You think about the demeaning nature of what men do to women, our young boys do to girls and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not about owning a home and owning a business and, you know, being, you know, upfront and being righteous about how you treat women. Those images of manhood now, getting locked up and showing your drawers. Can I say that on here? Yeah. Showing your underwear in public. That's an image of manhood now that our boys for 15 or 20 years have embraced. It has nothing to do with success. The media, and we're in the media, it popularized thug life, and we can point to how we got here. It's not that difficult to figure out, Malvin.
It's our culture. The you know, when I had Dr. Loeb in here the other day, Dr. Joseph Loeb, he's a resident scholar here, and he's also an elder in church.
Okay.
And part of our discussion was the idea that over the years, all the way from all the way back in before the Civil War, the church has been the foundation of the African-American experience.
Right.
You know, people could always find safety in church, and they could gather at the church. They could get help from and our society has gone into such a secular situation now that the church is irrelevant to most of the younger people, and all those manners and and morals and things that were fed through the church are not being fed to them anymore.
Well, it was Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth in Birmingham who actually invited Dr. King to come to Birmingham. There had been freedom rides and that kind of thing, but Reverend Shuttlesworth's church was one of the major churches in Birmingham. So even up to that point, the church was where they had mass meetings, and the church, as you say, was a place of safety. And ironically, you know, a lot of what we see with our churches now, in my opinion, some of us that we took prayer out of schools, that led to something, even a moment of silence. We got to bring that back. And I'm joining anybody and everybody that wants to do that. You got to be respectful of every religion. But young single mothers don't take their children to Sunday school. We learned the scripture in Sunday school and went every time. Didn't have a choice about it. You went to Sunday school. So, you know, and then I'll go ahead and say this because, you know, it's just me, again, in my opinion. You got a lot of so-called ministers or so-called leaders that their whole thing, as you say, was about their personalities, their wealth. You got them driving, you know, fancy cars and living in $500,000 houses while their congregations are, you know, have to rely on a food basket.
People struggling.
So it's part of it's the fault of, you know, as you say, the culture, the churches themselves, but then, you know, us not embracing it and then allowing society to just say, you know, we're not going to have prayer in school. Whatever faith you are, let them pray. I wish they could. We might have a lot less controversy if we had that religious aspect. But no, the church is not getting it done right now. They're a 9-to-5 operation, and I'm very disappointed in what we see. Not only with the I used to think it was 700 churches. Somebody said it's 2,000 churches in Memphis.
Yeah.
And if every one of them doesn't employ a young person for even $50 a week, you know, just to get some money into the hands. If they're not doing that, then I have to ask, what are they doing?
If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We are talking with Tony Nicholson. He is public affairs director for, I always have to remember the name.
Cumulus. And the Memphis Radio Group.
Memphis Radio Group, because they change around so much.
I know. Citadel, one while. Yeah, Cumulus. It's but, second biggest radio organization in America. And I'm very happy to work with them. Been doing public affairs there for the last 10 years, 11 years. And you and I, again, go back over 10 years, man. And, you know, I've always, you sort of been an inspiration to me with consistency and that smooth style of yours. So, yeah, I had a lot to live up to.
The consistency is just, you know, no, nowhere else to go.
I know.
But now the trip, the 250 young men,
yes, sir.
The trip to Birmingham at Kelly Ingram Park. So we started with the announcement of it in December.
Yeah, we've announced.
We've got events going on all the way up until the June 14th, 15th events.
Yeah, we're hosting classes. Those schools I told you about, Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, Transitional, Booker T. Washington, and George Washington Carver for the next 3 months. We'll be having weekly training and weekly classes. Those principals and those administrators have embraced this, and we'll myself, along with some of the mentoring colleagues of mine, even, you know, like I said,
you've
I'm going to have
some
you.
Real yeah. serious people.
Yeah.
Too,
oh, yeah. Bro. Yeah. These are Jay Hollingshed, Todd Motley, Calvin Taylor, Chris Taylor of Taylor & Toon, the law firm over there.
Yeah.
You know, some of my biker guys, Ken Wood, McCrary. You know, there are a lot of people that, you know, Winston Howard and Donald Brown. I mean, there are people that, you know, these names might not mean anything as folks just listen, but these are real guys with real jobs, and they give their time to be in fellowship with these boys. So once a week, five or six of these guys will be at each one of those schools. Monday, for example, at Carver. Then Tuesday, it'll be at Frederick Douglass. Yeah, and so forth. And then it may take a week off because the schools are up against time constraints and they don't like to interrupt instruction. But this initiative is all about literacy, history, communication skills. So when we go in for that 45 minutes or 75 minutes, whatever it is, then for 3 months, we're going to be teaching our young men about the civil rights movement. They'll watch Eyes on the Prize. They'll see the I Am a Man documentary. So it's not like we're just going to put 250 boys on some buses and go to Birmingham and like we're tourists. It's like, no, we're going to know what happened in Birmingham, how it was, how Birmingham changed the world. Because the civil rights movement became something different when America saw those dogs, those German shepherds, tearing into those children in Kelly Ingram Park and those high pressure water hoses.
Yeah.
When America saw that, it wasn't just something happening in a sleepy southern city anymore. This was America's image around the world. You can't say we're a democracy and, you know, a nation that's for the people and of the people and so forth when you are doing this to babies, to those teenagers, because Birmingham was the first time that teenagers actually came into the movement the way that they did. Before that, it was the grown folks. But in Birmingham, it signaled a major change. So, our, you know, at these schools and at all schools, and if people want to have this as a part of their school, they can call me or reach out to me.
How do they do that? What do they need to do?
Well, they can go to manofthehouse.net. That's our website, manofthehouse.net, because, again, this is our fifth annual Man of the House mentoring event, and it's all about those skills that every young man should know how to do before ninth grade. We've been pushing that for a while, getting our young men back to a firm handshake and eye contact and setting a dinner table and opening doors for ladies. Those are some fundamental skills that are the other part. You know, the history part is big, but those fundamental skills, that's just as big. And then, of course, you know, interacting and having fellowship with real men who have real jobs and cars and homes and families and the whole thing.
To train these guys, these young men, that there's more to life than being the big man in the neighborhood. You know,
the neighborhood. Come on, it's a big world out there.
I remember
there.
One time we were talking and we were talking about so many of these kids in these neighborhoods, some of these neighborhoods have never been to the Pink Palace Museum.
They've
never, things that are right here at them. They've never had the interest, or no one has ever taken the interest to show them, look at the things that people have done and are doing in the world.
Yeah, and that's the fault of local leadership. I'm not going to blame any one particular person, but I know I don't have a lot of, I don't hold politicians in high esteem because these are people who have cushy jobs and they're in leadership positions, but there are no recreational activities in the city of Memphis virtually for these children. Liberty Land was really all we had, and now people fought against a skate park for Glenview, and cut school funding. And I told them I wouldn't forgive them for what for the way that they're behaving. And, some of these leaders know exactly who they are. It's not for me to single out one of them, but in general, we're not doing what we need to do for our young people. That, you know, all of them should have been to the Pink Palace or to Mud Island, or, you know, just put them on, as we're doing with these boys, to Birmingham, put them on a bus and take them to Little Rock, take them to Nashville, let them just spend the day there to see that there are other communities. You got to get outside of, you know, I'm from Castalia Heights in South Memphis. And, you know, I mean, the neighborhood, there was a lot of love there growing up in the 60s and 70s. But my relatives and others would always take a car trip somewhere in the summertime. When I got old enough, of course, you know, I lived in D.C. for 13 years, went there at 25, and I was as green as grass coming out of Memphis. You know, thought we were, you know, thought we were slick. I mean, yeah, down here, it was fine. But you get to a city like Washington, excuse me, and you realize, wow, you know, there are other cities, not only in the South, Atlanta and Birmingham and Little Rock and Nashville, but you got cities all over the United States, and, you know, East Coast cities and Dallas and out west. Our young men need to see those kinds of things just so they'll know life is about more than just what's happening on this block.
Yeah.
It's a big problem, Malvin.
It is. Yeah. It is. And every time Buddy comes over to do Crime of the Week, I lament the idea that it's some young kid that in North, from North Memphis, from South Memphis, some young kid that you know, probably if it had proper direction, or if somebody had paid some attention to him at the right time, they wouldn't have done.
I mean, Malvin, how often are you seeing some guy that's 19 or 20 or 21 years old who's done some ridiculous crime, not just robbing a liquor store, but you're talking about murder and that kind of thing, and now he's sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, and he's 21 or 22 years old. Think about what that means. We don't think about inmates beyond just lock them up and hope he doesn't escape like those guys out of Chicago did. And they caught one of them. That's amazing.
So the ideas that could be in those minds, you know, everybody's mind, you never know who's an Einstein. You never know
A lot of them are sitting in prison right now. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but
Anyway, if just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Tony Nicholson. He's Public Affairs Director at the Cumulus Memphis Radio Group, media mogul outfit. But we are talking about the program. It's called Man of the House Mentoring.
Yes, sir.
And coming up with the Man of House Mentoring, it's the Birmingham Crusade, Memphis Mission, 1963 to 2013, The Reawakening. It's the 5th annual Man of the House Mentoring event. It'll be Saturday, June 14th and 15th, Memphis, Tennessee to Birmingham.
Yeah, we have a media reception where we announce our Man of the Year Men of the Year and Women of the Year on the Wednesday or Thursday or Friday before our Saturday event. It's always Father's Day weekend, that Saturday, close to Juneteenth. And, you know, it doesn't conflict with it. But, you know, we make the announcement. Our Men of the Year in the past have been Dr. Michael Uwicki from down at Methodist South Hospital there. My friend and colleague from my D.C. days, Attorney General Eric Holder, was one of our Men of the Year. Dr. Todd Motley, I mentioned. Then our first time last year, our two Women of the Year were Markova Reed of TV3, WREG, should I say, and District Attorney General Amy Wyrick. And all of them came together for their awards. And then Tony Armstrong was one of our Men of the Year for this past year. So that's the, you know, when you see a couple of days in Memphis and Birmingham, we host that media reception before the mentoring event. And this time, instead of being at the National Civil Rights Museum because of the, you know, renovations. Can't wait to see those. Instead of being here at the National Civil Rights Museum, we're in Birmingham at the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. So, folks, if you're looking for a great time, I'd say put the youngsters in the car. It's about a 3.5-hour drive to Birmingham and go hang out down there. Because, a matter of fact, Malvin, I've spoken with the mayor's office there and the city council representatives there, a couple of mentoring organizations. They're really excited about this Birmingham-Memphis connection. Yes, sir.
I would imagine so.
Yes, sir.
It's manofthehouse.net, manofthehouse.net. If you're interested in being a part of this, or if you know some boys that you need to get involved, that need to be involved in learning and getting some mentoring through this program,
Yes, sir.
This is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and it's 50 years. That's what, that's really, it all sort of came together. You know, they say God is watching all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I say, this could have just been, you know, take a bus trip to Birmingham. But the idea continued to grow. And with this being 50 years, 1963, again, a crucial time in American history. 64, the Voting Rights Act. 65, there were major riots in Watts and Newark and Detroit. And 66 and 67, the Black Panther Party started in 1966 out in Oakland.
Yeah.
So by 67, again, we had major race riots in this country. And then in 1968, we know that Dr. King was assassinated here and Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. So, yeah, that next couple of years, 68, 69, 70, crucial in American history. And folks, this is almost 50, again, close to 50 years. And we have to pause and just say, wait a minute, where are we 50 years after,
yeah,
after Kelly Ingram Park in Birmingham? Where are we now with our boys, with how we're treating our young girls, with how the young ladies are behaving and acting themselves? All of us know this is not how we should be 50 years as the African-American community. This is not how this should look. So what is the problem? And it comes back down to what you brought up, manhood, culture, religion. We're not getting it done across the board. The political,
as a community,
the political leaders here, they're a joke. And show me the ones that have taken leadership. How is it that one political leader on a council or a commission or what have you has nothing to say about an issue in another part of town? Because it's that turfism thing. You know, I mean, if they know that a child in Westwood is suffering or the community center is closing, they're closing golf courses. I mean, this is a public golf course. How are you going to close it? What does that mean? Nobody can step onto it. Who are these people that cut budgets, that deny these young people recreational facilities, and won't comment on something across town? That's not a leader. That's a politician who simply has a job. And we keep electing these people. And I think, you know, until they step up.
Yes, sir. That is our fault.
It is our fault.
For reelecting these people.
Absolutely, Melvin. This is common sense. The Man of the House mentoring event, the Birmingham Crusade, Memphis Mission, and, you know, all of this you can summarize by calling it the reawakening. It's up to us now to say, hold it. What is it that we really need to be doing going forward? So that's why 2013 to 2018. I'm on this just religiously, because we have to reawaken these young people to the history starting in Birmingham. It goes back beyond Birmingham, but 1963, I think, is as good a place to start as any.
Yeah. I mean, I was showing my age, but I can remember I was a toddler when Emmett Till was killed.
Yes, sir.
But I felt the urgency and the disgust, and I felt it in the house. I felt it in the community, up and down the street. Everybody was in, it was all of a sudden like, what are we doing? Why are we letting this happen?
Yes, sir.
And everything started changing.
It started changing after Emmett Till in the late 1950s. And that's why, you know, I mean, the Freedom Riders started in 61.
Yeah.
And they were beat down in not only Birmingham, but I believe Jackson, Mississippi, didn't make it out of there. Had to stop the Freedom Rides, as a matter of fact, in Birmingham. Didn't make it through Birmingham. Yeah. So, yes, sir. But that, Melvin, I mean, you're a gentleman that is dedicated and committed to what you're doing. Your history speaks to this. You put a lot of people on air that would not have gotten a chance to share this kind of thing. And that's important in this community. So I hope the listeners to WMR will embrace not only this initiative, but just do something for your middle schools and high schools yourself.
Get involved. And and before we go, I can't believe, you know, we get to talk about a good conversation.
Yes,
but
I
would like to acknowledge the new program, the new show, the new syndicated show.
Yeah, excited about
up,
that.
On the Cumulus Memphis Radio Group, Public Affairs Department. They are going to have the Sunday News Source, a radio, a magazine for radio.
Well, that's what it was. That's what I called it, the Sunday News Source. Sunday News Source, yeah. A magazine for radio. That's where we started over a year ago. But
and
now
it has changed to the Tony Nicholson Show.
I'm amazed at that. God is good because Sundays from 9 a.m. to 11 over on, and I guess, you know, you don't mind me giving the.
No, please.
Yeah,
98.9,
because
98.1, the Max, Kix 106, yeah. Soul Classics 103.5. I got friends all over the place.
Yes, sir, you do. Well, on News Talk FM 98.9 Sunday mornings, you know, finally, as I told you, I'm so humble about everything. I can't even imagine me saying the Tony Nicholson Show, but it's like the folks out there said, no, you pretty much got to call it that because the Sunday News Source, that's where it all began. That was a magazine for radio. So yeah. Some public affairs guests, a little music, some commentary, just like you're flipping through a magazine. And they finally convinced me and said, well, Tony, you know, we want you to focus on the Tony Nicholson Show, like the Geraldo Rivera Show or any other show, or, you know, Mike Huckabee, the conservatives over there on that station. And I'm the resident progressive. But I'm okay with the Tony Nicholson Show Sunday mornings on News Talk FM 98.9. I appreciate you letting me.
When does it start?
January, right after the first of the year. Yeah, we've been on hiatus for about 4 weeks for some ABC specials that they've been running on News Talk. But first Sunday in January, for those getting ready for church, you definitely want to tune in to WUMR for the jazz that you got here and the great programming. But, you know, you can kind of push another button over there to check out the show. And it'll be political commentary. It'll be some of the interview guests that I've worked with over the years. I'm going to have you on at some point to sit in. But it's going to be very entertaining. And I got to bring it because, again, I'm the only progressive that's on air on News Talk FM 98.9.
And we know how that goes in this country. Yes, we do.
I know. They get tired of me, but I know we got to wrap up. Yeah. I couldn't be more proud of President Barack Obama on his reelection. That's we watched the conservatives over the years just say the man is that this guy is a socialist, and he didn't know what he was doing, and now
he wasn't even born in America.
Wasn't even born. All of that, the birther issues, and I listened to this. I challenged him on it, and I told him along the way, you know, you guys are lying. And you're spreading lies, this is not, you know, the reality. And the vote on back in November, it showed that President Obama, a talented attorney, a family man, a senator in his 40s and president, twice elected now president of the United States. This is a heck of a guy. I couldn't be more proud of him. And, the conservatives and those folks will just have to get over it because, he's talented and he has the best interests of this nation at heart. And I support President Barack Obama and I wish him well in his next 4 years.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is why he was reelected, because in his policies, in his discussions, in his talks, everything he's done has been about everybody.
The middle class and everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. And as I say, they started to, the conservatives started to believe their own lies, and they were stunned that the rest of us didn't buy into that. So, and I support what he's doing, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you about the Birmingham Crusade and the Memphis Mission coming up for June of 2013.
And it is the Birmingham Crusade, Memphis Mission, 1963-2013, The Reawakening, the fifth annual Man of the House mentoring event, Saturday, June 14th and 15th, Memphis, Tennessee, and Birmingham, Alabama. However, events will be going on all through the month of January, into May, into June.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so,
sir.
And even in August afterward, the March on Washington, the anniversary of the March.
That's
on Washington.
Right. That was 63. Yes,
it
sir.
Was 63 as well. So, if you're interested in getting boys into the mentoring program, if you're interested in being a part of the trip to Birmingham or mentoring yourself,
yes, sir,
go to manofthehouse.net.
That's it.
Manofthehouse.net.
Yes, sir.
Tony Nicholson, thanks so much for coming back, Tony.
Melvin Massey, I appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, this has been Spotlight 92. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.